Hey everybody, welcome to episode 79 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In this episode, Katie and I interview Rachel Weisenberger, a dietitian and former competitive volleyball player. She also happens to be Katie's coworker. We talked to Rachel about the pressure of elite training on kids specializing in sports at a really young age and the repercussions physically and mentally. We know you'll find Rachel's story really interesting whether or not you were an athlete in middle school, high school, or college. All right, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Hi, Rachel. Long time no see.
It's good to see you. Thanks for having us.
So we're currently at our outside recording studio today. We're at Whole Foods again. So if you hear some dishes clanking, it's not us eating, but we're in this little booth. So today we're talking about Rachel's kind of history growing up as an elite athlete and kind of how that's transformed her as a young, I don't want to say child, but a young adult into her career as a dietitian and kind of how that's affected both her personal and professional life. So we're really excited to have you.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about this because I am not an athlete. I mean, like I say, I consider myself an athlete because I work out, but in reality, I do not have that like mindset, I don't think, or yeah, I just don't. So I'm excited to talk to you. And I think that anyone that's listening, if you can relate to being an athlete, I'm sure you'll hopefully be able to relate to some of the things that she's gone through. But also, if you aren't an athlete, it's just so interesting to hear about different people's upbringings and what has just made them who they are today.
I think, too, we have a lot of moms, Indiana, a lot of mothers and mothers-to-be who listen to this podcast. So we all know kids, or we've all had some sort of connection to sports and just, I mean, how our childhood is influenced. So I think this is a really important topic.
All right. So let's just jump right into it. Tell us about how you got into sports in the first place and what sport you played.
Oh, gosh. So I started as an athlete. When I was little, like I did the whole like peewee soccer and dance classes, but I started getting into, my parents like were like, wow, you're actually kind of good at this, like maybe we should try and do more sports. So I played volleyball, I played basketball, I played softball, and I danced, and that was kind of my rotation for when I was in second to fifth grade. About sixth grade, I had hit my current height. So I was 5'7" in sixth grade. I was a pretty big sixth grader. And they thought I was going to grow more, which I actually get into later. So I started specializing in volleyball because I ended up being okay at it. And it was time for me to decide if I wanted to, you know, pursue it more seriously or if I wanted to just keep playing recreationally. And of course I was in sixth grade. I loved sports. That was my life. So I continued on and, started playing, junior Olympics. So JO volleyball, club volleyball in Cincinnati. So I started in tens. So that's when you're 9 years old and you play competitively. So you'll do, 2 hour practices 3 times a week. And then you'll travel for 9 different tournaments over the next 7 months, and then you'll play your school season. So that was, it was pretty big commitment for when I was so little. Got into eighth grade and it was like, hey, you kind of need a pick, and volleyball is very important and really big in Cincinnati. That's where I grew up. So it was time for me to decide if I wanted to continue.
So you say junior Olympics in sixth grade, like what is that process even like? You just apply and they, I mean, I imagine it's a little bit more intense than just everybody makes the team. Like, how does that work?
Right. So, there are a couple different clubs that you can, try out for. So it's a pretty big tryout. So we had about 50 to 80 kids trying out, and, we did a lot of different things. So it was fitness and then, just skills and then, stamina. So seeing if you could actually last throughout a match, and kind of went from there, and you got a letter in the mail and it was like, you actually made the team. And my parents were like, wait a minute, you're actually pretty good. Like, we should continue this. And
so, yeah, you mentioned your parents. I'm curious, like, what, like making the Junior Olympics at that young of an age, and you said you loved sports, so like I'm sure that was amazing. It was just like your dream had come true. But how did it feel at that point to make the Junior Olympics?
Right. So I didn't really know, like I didn't understand the process of it. But I was really excited because my parents were excited. I kind of felt like a puppy. Like everyone was excited, so I was excited. And all my friends made the team. So it was kind of cool that I could keep playing with them and keep competing and doing what I loved. You know, I mean, I didn't know anything else. That's what I loved. Yeah. So in Cincinnati, our private schools are very competitive in volleyball. It's kind of what we're known for. So there are two major powerhouses. It's called Ursuline Academy or Mount Notre Dame, and they're two private schools, and they're known for going to state every year. So making the team at Ursuline is a big deal. So I made JV my freshman year and then played varsity my other couple years. And that was really hard on my body. That was when it really got intense and where I really started – you know, feeling, am I doing the right thing? Like, is this what's best for me? So I guess that's when the training really started to kick in.
So if it was physically demanding on you, did you find that, like, you were putting more pressure on yourself to, like, were you really pushing yourself? Or was everyone kind of in the same boat there?
I mean, it was a little bit of both. You know, you see your friends succeed and you want to succeed and, you know, you're, this is all you've done for your whole life. So you want to make your coaches happy. You want to play. And it was very competitive for playing time, but you want to be the best. And I think that was what was dangerous for me, is wanting to be the best and play as much as possible.
We're so influential in high school too, especially being surrounded by, I can't even imagine as an athlete. I mean, we experience this as just, you know, your average kids of that comparison, but then like you're literally being compared as an athlete based on your ability, your skill.
Would you have rather gone to a school where you could have been the best? Would you have preferred that looking back compared to going to this school that really, really pushed you?
Absolutely. Hindsight's always 20/20. But you know, when you're having your JO coaches pushing you like, hey, you need to go to this school if you really want to consider college ball, or considering not being the best, I mean, that was kind of scary for me, especially in high school and being pushed constantly. You know, you want to challenge yourself as much as possible. But I don't think I realized how much of a toll it was taking on me until I got to college and didn't have volleyball, because it was taken from me.
So when you were at the peak of your training, what did a typical day look like for you? Because you were practicing, what, 2 hours, 3 times a week as a sixth grader. I'm a little nervous for what it was like in high school.
Right. So preseason was always the most intense preseason for high school, I should say. So that was 3 hours, 3 times a day. And that would be a mix between outdoor and indoor. So the first 3 hours would be in the sand doing training of conditioning, different things like that. And that was, you know, in the heat of the summer. So, I mean, we would have to kind of prepare ourselves for 105 degrees outside in the sand for 3 hours. And then we would do a team practice for 3 hours. And then we'd have different positionals for 3 hours as well.
So when you say preseason, that was in the summer. So that's why you even had those 9 hours a day?
Yeah, correct. So, you know, we would do that for the next 3 months and then school would start. And then we'd go down to 2 to 3 hours a day, 6 days a week.
That is crazy. Okay, so you mentioned that you did not play in college. What happened?
So, you know, we finished high school my sophomore year, and we went directly into JO. So that was 2 to 3 hours, 3 times a week. So it was a little bit lighter of a schedule. Plus we had, you know, 7 to 11 tournaments that time. But so I was in the middle of a match, and I felt tired and I felt weak and I didn't feel like myself, but I dove for a ball and the ball was dug up above me. So the ball was above me. My teammate wasn't looking for me, stepped on me, and fractured my L5. I continued through the match and I played the rest of the match, but I couldn't really feel my legs. So when I finished the match and we won, but I went over to my mom, I was like, Mom, something's not right. And I went to I had MRIs, I had x-rays, and I was in a back brace for a long time. But the thing about the culture that I was in, you know, that wasn't an option. I couldn't take off that much time. So I waited about 6 weeks and I started playing in my back brace. That was a bad move. I ended up breaking a couple of my ribs because I was playing in my brace and just pushing myself too hard and not eating appropriately. It really took a toll on my body. So that's why I couldn't play in college.
So you broke at least two ribs. Have you broken any other bones?
Right. So I've broken over 20 bones, ranging from, you know, my spine to I've broken three ribs. I've broken both of my femurs and, torn up all the ligaments in my ankles and my feet. And I've broken all of my metatarsals, the bottoms of my ankles and both my wrists and my hands. So I've kind of broken some things.
That's so wild because, knock on wood, I've never broken a bone. So I can't even imagine. But then again, you played through a match with a broken back. So, like, what? Mind blown.
Yes, I have broken some bones, but nothing compared to that. And it's just, it's also crazy to think that, like, I mean, do you have any pain now? Do you have, like, what's left?
What's left? So my back, you know, my muscles, because I went back too early, my muscles started spazzing on my weak vertebrae because I was using muscles, small muscles that were deep inside that I didn't realize. So I typically get those if I go too hard or if I run. I also have bone spurs from where I broke my femurs that clip on my IT bands. So I can't really run long distances very well just because it kind of hurts. But other than that, no, I can walk fine.
Yeah, because I was going to say it's amazing. The body can heal if you give it time. But like you said, you didn't give your back the time that it needed.
You're a dietitian now. Of course, your nutrition has changed. But looking back, how would you say that your nutrition affected your healing, your training? I mean, you mentioned in that match, you felt weak, you felt tired, of course, physically. Tell us more what that was like.
Right. So, so when I got into the peak of my training, you know, it was easy to not eat enough, especially when you're burning so much and you're still in high school. I mean, you're still growing and you're supposed to be growing. You know, I was supposed to be 5'11" and I basically stunted my growth by, not eating appropriately and not taking care of myself the way I should have. So yeah, eating was definitely a big thing. I personally know I never ate enough. It was a lot of different factors that kind of went into it. You know, the perfectionism, the, you know, striving to be the best. And I'm smaller for a volleyball player. You know, I played with some people that are playing professionally right now overseas and for the U.S. women's team. You know, so I had a lot to look up to. And I was small, so trying to be the best and not taking care of myself, you know. I ended up developing osteopenia when I was 16. They found that when I got my MRI for my back, they were like, you don't have enough calcium in your bones, you know, you can continue to break very easily. And when I'm 16, that doesn't register to me. I don't understand that. But now I definitely understand, and I can feel the repercussions of that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but like your bone growth, it pretty much is climbing, climbing, climbing until, I mean, that's like when you should be at your peak is like high school. And then I think your 20s is when it levels out. So for you to have that poor bones at that age, like playing at the intensity, that's scary. No wonder you broke bones. It kind of makes more sense now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the fatigue and, you know, the lack of energy that also comes from, you know, feeling like, you know, I have a 3-hour training. Do I really want to eat like a big meal? Like, I'm going to vomit. Like, I don't want to do that. And, you know, just kind of taking that into consideration as well. You know, I know more than one girl in my club and on my teams that had developed an eating disorder, just like pushing themselves too hard and the perfectionism, again, kind of pulling into it.
So since you were already a professional athlete at, even though you were young, you know, did you have any coaching on nutrition?
No, we didn't have anything. We just kind of fended for ourselves and, you know, ate what we thought was right and ate when we thought was right. And, you know, when you're, you know, 5'7" and 100 pounds running around on the court, you know, that's going to look different, than someone that's eating appropriately and training appropriately. So it was difficult. It was difficult to find the balance and try and, you know, be easy on yourself and kind of learn more about yourself, especially in such, you know, formative years. So, we never were coached on it.
You talk about the comparison and comparing yourself to these other athletes. So you know, it's funny looking back, probably comparing yourself to whoever was, you know, the best, quote unquote, the best girl on the team, you know, looking at her body type and probably, you know, trying to mimic like what that person does, knowing now that they probably could have been very unhealthy and doing the opposite of what one should be doing.
Exactly. And it's easy to fall into the thoughts of, well, if I'm smaller, I can go faster. If I'm smaller, I can jump higher. And, you know, you can't teach height and you can't teach size, you know. So it really became an unhealthy habit of, you know, not listening to your body cues and kind of just ignoring that so you can train, so you can kind of be better, and just focusing on volleyball was my life. It was really my life. School suffered, you know, it was my life. That's what I was going to do. So when that was taken from me, that took a really big mental toll in every part of my life.
Yeah. So once you finally came to the realization that volleyball wasn't going to be your future career wise, like how long did you kind of feel lost? And then how did you find the path to being a dietitian?
Right. So when I broke my back, I had interest from some big D1 schools to play. And so when I hurt my back, it was taken from me. And that was hard because it felt like all my work was for nothing. Like I went through all of this for nothing. But, hindsight's always 20/20, and I found my way. So once I healed up and kind of took some time off, and I coached the boys in high school. So I coached them and kind of took some time off and kind of let myself become Rachel and not Rachel the volleyball player, like Rachel the human. That was weird. That was a weird transition. But then I started playing some beach volleyball, but I played it for fun. And I didn't play it because that was what I was supposed to do. And that was really rewarding to me. And that's actually when I became, you know, a professional athlete, because I ended up winning tournaments and started making money from it. And I was like, this is kind of nice. You know, I'm not killing myself every day, and you know, I'm just doing it because I enjoy it, and that was way more fulfilling than, you know, pushing myself for somebody else.
So obviously it took some time. I like how you describe Rachel the volleyball player versus Rachel the human, because I think so many athletes can probably identify that, or anyone who's just had this thing that's been their thing, whether it's sports or school, or you know, everyone has that one thing, and when it becomes your identity and all of a sudden it's not, you're kind of forced with, okay, what else identifies me as a person? So you started kind of enjoying that, but what led you down the path to become a dietitian? Was that something that you always knew? Was that influenced by your background?
Sure. So when I started college, I thought I wanted to be a physical therapist just because I had seen so many, because I had broken so many bones and had to recover. But I really thought I wanted to be a physical therapist, and I just didn't love it. But I always loved nutrition, and I always loved that piece, and I felt like it was constantly overlooked. So through changing my major a billion times, my parents probably wanted to kill me, but I ended up on dietetics, and I ended up working at the NCAA for a little bit, and just kind of learning about, you know, overuse and the dangers of specializing so young. And it kind of made sense to me. And I was like, I think I can help other athletes if I, you know, pursue this degree. So that's why when I ended up for sure knowing I wanted to be a dietitian, and kind of went from there.
So I'm always thinking of like how this relates to mom life. So I'm curious, like if you have kids one day and you have a daughter or son that is showing these signs of being an athlete, and I'm not pushing you to say that like your parents made the wrong decisions or anything like that, but what would you do differently?
Right. So I'm the oldest, and my parents were like, okay, like this is what everyone else is doing. Like, let's do it. And you know, my dad was he was being scouted to be a professional baseball player when he was in high school too. So, I mean, we're a pretty athletic family. And, but for me, if I were to have a kid, you know, I think I would make sure that they played at least two, even into high school. You know, sports aren't everything. And I think that we're in such a culture that, you know, it can fall into that category, but, making sure that they're balanced and, kind of accepting the fact that, you know, this isn't your identity. It can really take over your mind and kind of mess with you. So I actually feel like I was blessed, you know, to not play in college, because I felt like I was able to figure out who I was, you know, at such a critical point, and kind of develop an actual adult life that was healthy.
I worked with a dietitian at Purdue, and she actually ended up writing a book for college athletes because there was no transition for those athletes who didn't go pro, you know, who just had a general degree. They didn't really specialize in anything. They were pretty much just going to school so they could play sports. And so she ended up writing a book for those, I think it's like called From Athlete to Human, because that's really the transition.
That's really cool. I wish I would have read it when I was in high school.
I can see how this could be even possible with someone that's like in band throughout college, high school, college. It's like, well, you're not going to be in the marching band of life. So like, what do you do? It's the same kind of thing, because you can be a professional volleyball player, but it's really hard to do. And then you can also become a professional musician, but also small amount of people do that.
Going from training hours and hours a day, multiple days a week, just go, 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 nonstop. How did you make that transition? I mean, I'm sure it was definitely a journey, but what is your relationship like with exercise now?
I really like how you say relationship, because I always viewed it as punishment. You know, if you lost, or you ran suicides. If you lost, you did wall sits for 5 minutes. You know, I mean, it was very much viewed as a punishment. So when I was stopped playing volleyball, I was like, I don't want to go to the gym. Like, this sucks. Like, this is my punishment. And so kind of getting a healthier relationship with exercise, it took a couple years, actually. To just be like, you know, this is for my health, my own good. I'm pushing myself instead of pushing myself for somebody else. So it actually took a couple years. I had a love-hate relationship with the gym for a long time. But I also found that classes were very helpful for me, just because it was easier to follow an instructor and do what they're telling me to do, as opposed to, you know, doing what I knew, which was running for suicides and wall sits.
So are you playing volleyball now? And if you're not, then what's your favorite exercise to do?
So I play a little bit of volleyball here and there. I was playing in a league on Tuesday nights, which was kind of fun. But if I played a little bit when I was in college too. I played on the men's UC volleyball team as a libero, which was fun.
As a what? What was that? Can you explain that for us non-volleyballers out here?
All right, so I was a libero, so I specialized in defense. So I wore a different color jersey and would sub in for the tall, lanky guys that couldn't pass. So it was kind of funny playing in tournaments, and you'd have these like 6'10 guys like wailing balls at you, and it'd just be little me back there just playing. So that was fun. But yeah, I play every now and then, but it's not a regular thing. I have to make sure that I'm playing because I enjoy it, and it's not like I feel like I have to. And that actually takes a lot of time to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, so whenever you join a tournament, are people like, oh, you have to do this again? Like, are they all about you playing? And then you have to tell yourself, like, no, I'm not going down this rabbit hole.
Yeah, it's actually very easy to fall into that rabbit hole, because, you know, you're like, oh, wait, like, I really enjoy this. I like this. But then you kind of feel your body the next day, and you're like, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to break some bones again. You know, I don't love it that much. Like, I love me now. I don't love the sport anymore.
Not relatable, but kind of relatable. I feel like teaching group fitness, I've been at a point in my life where people are like, oh, we want more classes, teach more classes, do more of this. And it was go, go, go. And you felt like just because people were asking you, you had to do it because, well, you're good at it. You know, you should do more of it. But it's so easy to get to that point of burnout. And it's hard to take a step back and say that find that fine line of doing it because you love it, not because you're being asked to. What's your favorite exercise to do right now? I know you love your midday walks at lunch. I have my gym shoes. I need to join her. But what do you like to do outside of that?
So I don't really have a schedule, which is actually kind of nice for me. But I live with my boyfriend out in Carmel, and we go on walks every day, or we go on bike rides every day. So we're trying to, because he was a former college soccer athlete, he kind of experienced the same thing that I did. So we're trying to find our healthy relationship with exercise again. But we try to keep it low key, you know, just whenever we feel like doing something, we will. But if we don't, like, we don't feel guilty about not doing that. And that's the biggest hurdle I think we've overcome as a couple, especially. But yeah, I do my midday lunch walks. I walk 2 miles a day.
Hey, I am a big fan of walking too. So what kind of advice would you give yourself back in the day?
I would talk to volleyball Rachel and just kind of, everyone says there's so much more to life, but you don't understand it until you get there. So I think I would encourage her to, you know, be easier on yourself, be patient with yourself, and, you know, try and explore different things. You know, if people say that you can't specialize in more than one sport, but I mean, I could have totally played softball or, you know, done something else. And, you know, I think that would have been better and healthier for my mindset and for my body, and just kind of finding a better balance.
It's so hard because you were so young. Like, that's just, I mean, maybe if you were, like, if we were talking about you in, like, your early 20s, but, like, you were so young. So it is easy to, like, look back and think of what could have been.
You mentioned, too, that you're still involved working with younger athletes. Is there anything that you do differently coaching them based on what you know now versus what your coaches told you to do?
Right. So when I give lessons to my girls, especially, you know, I'm more about the process and understanding the movement as opposed to getting it perfect every time. And it's very easy to see myself in a lot of these younger kids, especially when they're pushing themselves so hard. So I don't push them very hard in my lessons just because I don't think that they need to do lessons. You know, I really feel like they're getting enough as it is. So kind of going over skill sets and kind of taking it easy, but, you know, perfecting the movement is kind of what I try to focus on. But, and, you know, I did talk to a club recently, a volleyball club, kind of about the nutrition. And, you know, it was almost scary to see how focused these parents are on, you know, making sure that they're being the best and feeding the best. And, you know, they're kids, you know, I don't want them to have a unhealthy relationship the way, you know, I did with different kinds of foods. You know, I mean, if they had just had a big tournament and they want to have a piece of pizza, let them have a piece of pizza. You know, there's everything fits, especially with an athlete.
Love that you say that, because we talk about that so much, about all foods fit and finding that healthy relationship with food. I think for parents listening, that starts so young. And I don't think we realize what we say around even like young kids, like as young as 5, like how that influences their relationship with food as they grow up.
And as a parent, I think the best thing you can do is just work with your own self on it, because, you know, trying to track everything you say to your kids is so hard. And so if you have all of these like negative thoughts and negative relationship with food, then, or an unhealthy relationship with food, like that's going to show, unfortunately. So just working on yourself, and that will show through your kids, I think.
Agree with that 110%. Rachel, human Rachel, what is the best thing that's happened to you this week? It's our favorite question to ask.
Okay, so I'm from Cincinnati. I went down to visit my grandma. She has dementia, Alzheimer's, and she's not doing great, but she didn't know my name, but she definitely recognized me, and she told me how beautiful I was and how much she loved me and kept holding my hand, and it was just, it just made my whole year. It was so great.
That is so sweet.
Definitely all the warm, fuzzy feelings. That's so cute. If listeners have questions or they're local and want to work with you, what's the best way to contact you?
Sure. So the best way to contact me is typically by email. My emails are Weisenberger and the number 1 at Gmail. I know that's a mouthful, but I'm hoping they can spell it out somewhere. But you can kind of contact me if you want to, you know, talk about, you know, an unhealthy relationship with food and exercise. If you want to talk about, you know, volleyball, if you want to have me coach your kid, like, I'd be happy to, you know. I'm open and willing to work with anybody.
Yes, that's R. Weisenberger, and you might not get it the first time. It's really easy if you sound it out, but you'll probably still get it wrong. So we'll definitely put a link to that in, I was going to say show notes, but we don't really have show notes. So we'll put a link to that in our Instagram. All right, guys, that's it for today's episode. As you know the drill, find us on Instagram. Let us know what episodes and topics you want to hear next. And if this episode helped you, hit that subscribe button and share with a friend. All right, that's it for today. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.